The Lord be with you. Throughout the month of November, on Mondays, we have been taking time in chapel to look into issues concerning topics around love, sex, and dating. And this morning, I want to jump right in. We have guests Sarah and Lance Young. We could give them a warm welcome. And I'm going to let them get right into it. So join me in prayer. Lord, I pray that this morning, through Lance and Sarah, that you would speak a word of grace and wisdom in calling us into your marvelous light. We pray all these things in your gracious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. I'm Sarah, and I am a counselor over in Zealand at a place called Winning at Home at the Wellness Center.
Yep. And I'm her other half, not the better half, Lance, and I'm a high school pastor at Central Wesleyan Church here in Holland.
Yeah, we've been married for 11 years, and we want to talk to you today about some stuff with porn. And I come to this from the perspective of my specialty is in sexual issues. It's my passion. I feel like the church, and you guys might agree, the church just has not handled sexual issues well. And we serve a God who is passionate. God designed sex to be absolutely amazing. In fact, it could be argued that Christians have the potential to have the best sex lives on the planet because of God's role in it. Mm. And we want to be a healthy voice for that. So
yeah, come at the perspective of it, obviously, from working with high school students. From the age of 8 up until college, I struggled with a pornography addiction. And so we come at the perspective a little differently, but want to invite you in not just to have the conversation of don't look at porn, but to invite you into something greater beyond this, where we feel like God has designed sex to be something way bigger and better than that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I want to start with you first with just a couple hardwiring issues, okay? So neurologically, your brain is not going to be fully cooked until it's 26, and so you guys are still in the middle of this ripening, absolutely. But when it comes to sexual stuff, when you engage with porn, when you engage with this visual stimulation, it stimulates the same parts of your brain that, say, a shot of heroin would. It interacts with this, the amygdala at the base of your brain. If you guys have heard of fight, flight, or flee, that's the piece of your brain that kicks in when you're engaging with porn, for those of you that do. The problem is there's this dopamine released, and your brain learns, just like it would with any drug, wow, this feels really good. Okay, I can use this. I can use this to relax, to feel better, to do whatever. And what it does in terms of shaping your template in your head of what sex is supposed to be, what it's not supposed to be, what your expectations are, what your body is supposed to look like, what positions are supposed to look like, all of that is just messed with. And to undo what gets solidified in your brain, it becomes very difficult the longer you spend time there.
Mm-hmm. When I was 16, at a friend's house, a lot of porn available there, and his mother told me, I remember her saying, it's okay that you look at that stuff because boys do like to look at girls. That's normal. And I thought, yes, great, free hall pass for that. But what happened was addiction started to take root. And it was something that after a while, wanting to stop, didn't know how to and couldn't and felt stuck. Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this isn't a guy's problem by any stretch of the imagination. And nobody's coming in here and saying anybody who does is an addict. But it's just the character of porn in your life, period. If it's there, it just puts you at such tremendously high risk for so many big problems. And then let's look at the aspect of, okay, I love Jesus and there's this. And so often what happens for us is there becomes this duality of, here's my Christian life that I live up here and I love the Lord and I'm walking with the Lord and I do this. And this is what happens. There's two pieces of me going on. And it's Kenny Luck is a pastor out in Saddleback in California who has said, okay, we have this reality of sexual atheism, okay? God has everything to say about his calling on my life and my relationships and what I'm wanting, and I'm listening, except here. God, I don't trust you to make a call on my sex life. Yeah, porn is probably not great, but I don't know how to invite you into that, or I don't know how to stop, or I don't know, but there's this atheism that comes with sexual issues. And when there's not a guidepost, it becomes this place to get lost in, and it just becomes very consuming. So even if it's not addiction, it's a realm that's just cloudy and muddy and dangerous.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you're not your own, you were bought with a price, therefore honor God with your body. Following up, Matthew 5:27 and 29, it says, have you not heard, do you not know that if you look at a woman lustfully, even then that you commit adultery in your heart. It says if your eye causes you to sin, then gouge it out. So we look at that and think, well, that's pretty extreme. We don't want, you know, Hope College to turn into like a campus of pirates, you know? Like one-eyed walking around, you're like, hey, we know where you've been. Rather, I think it's more important to say beyond that, the source. Maybe we need to become a flip phone generation again. Some people might need to do that. Whatever is causing you to stumble, gouge that part of your life out. Maybe it's something extreme as far as taking your laptop to the library in front of everybody, and that's where you do your studies. Some extreme accountability, which we'll talk about.
So there's just like recreational porn use, if we can be that casual with it. But where it becomes tricky is when you start using a sexual realm of life to deal with non-sexual issues. And porn becomes a complete life management strategy. I'm bored? Oh, I go look at porn. I'm tired? I look at porn. I'm angry? I look at porn. My game didn't go well? I look at porn. I can't sleep? I look at porn. Because remember what happens neurologically in the brain. I show up. I don't have to do anything. This makes me feel really good. There's a release and life is good again. And it shortcuts your ability to mature in self-management. You think about, you can use a fire hose to blow out a birthday cake to get the candles out. There's a heck of a lot of damage. It's overkill. So to use sexual stuff to manage pain, to manage anger, to manage restlessness, whatever it may be, God says, uh-uh. That restlessness that I put in you when you're in those spots where you're coming face to face with your humanity and you don't know what to do with it, that is designed to drive you to me, not to your computer, not to your sex organs. It doesn't go in line with what I have designed for you. It's too small. It's way too small. God designed sex to be huge and amazing and wonderful, and to box it into this set of behaviors, that's not even real intimacy. This false presentation of something that kind of works and cuts corners for how I think about and deal with my life, it's not big enough.
So then the question becomes, well, how do I stop? Right? How do I stop? I think one of the greatest tools, one, Scripture tells us that God wants us to renew our minds. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, I urge you in lieu of God's mercy to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And isn't that what you guys are doing a lot in college, is trying to find, discern God's will for your life? Like, man, I'm going to get a degree, but I'm not guaranteed a job. What's next for me? Lord, I need to know. But then this, for some, this addiction is cutting in over and over and over. I met with a group of last year called the Uprooted. And it's a group that guys can go and get help with. It's an accountability group, basically, talking about issues of pornography and lust. And given this suggestion, it was set up an accountability partner that you never want to have that conversation with. So maybe if you have safe eyes put on your computer, make grandma your safe eyes watch guard. That's a conversation I never want to have with my grandma. Hey, grandma, guess what sites I was looking at? Or she's like, hey, hon, you were looking at this, this, and this. What is that? Yeah, maybe not. yeah, that would be a conversation. So it has to be something that you know that will put up a roadblock for you. It has to be something that you put in place that will absolutely be there. If you make a best friend your accountability partner, hey, dude, I messed up. Yeah, man, me too. Sweet, we'll try again. It's worthless. It's not worth anything. So get involved somewhere else beyond yourself. And the thing is like it's such an epidemic that shame actually has to be something that you get beyond in this. It has to be something that's talked about. And we agree that the church has not done a very good job at all of addressing this issue.
But you have people here on campus who are more than willing to jump in with you. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You guys are bombarded with at minimum 2,000 to 3,000 some sort of sexualized issue in a day between your phones and your laptops and everything. So nobody's blind that this is a struggle across the board for 100% of us in this room. So the question then becomes, where do you fall with your relationship to this media reality? Okay. Then it's, okay, once I can answer that, how am I using it? Am I? And why am I using it? So if you can pull your self-examination back from behavior to some evaluation, what's going on? Why? What do I want? And maybe some of you are in here and you're like, oh, I look at it and I don't want to stop. Mm-hmm. Okay, then talk to God about that. God is the exposer. He wants to bring light into every area, including this one. No dualities. They don't work. God wants one mind, unity of heart within us as a body of believers and within you too. So. Mm-hmm.
Some of the best advice I got from a college professor in lieu of pornography, he says, you want to work hard, you want to play hard, and you want to sleep hard. He said, you're going to do it when you're bored. You're going to look at pornography when you're tired. He's like, just go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Work hard, play hard, sleep hard.
And if you're like, I have that sexual reality of there's this hunger, this lust that I don't know what to do with. Get your body busy. Get your body busy. Or use that sexual tension to do something creative. God made you a phenomenally creative being, so use that. Channel it somewhere else. The computer's too small. Your sex life is worth so much more than this kind of damage. Mm-hmm. So protect it. Yeah. Let's pray.
Let's pray. Lord, you are a giver of great gifts. And Lord, you have freedom way beyond what we could even see for what your design is, especially for this. So I just pray over everyone here. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would bless their minds, that you would set them free if they're in bondage to this, that they would find groups, accountability, that you would make it happen. We just ask for this in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord, and we ask that you would be with us as we go. In Jesus' name.